Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bill. Happy Thursday, everybody. Coming up, Ian Valentino is going to join us, NFL and draft analyst for the 33rd team. They do a really good job, and we're giving you different perspectives. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to go and talk to our man Sam Munson, PFF lead NFL analyst. And Mike has talked a lot about PFF, a lot more analytics.
Yeah.
But they are high on certain guys that other people are not necessarily high on.
And that's the one where we've looked at, and again, I know you got Mel Kiper and you got all the CBS sports guys, and we've been talking about Daniel Jeremiah, but they're the ones who love Cooper DeJean, the kid from Iowa, who we've talked about maybe PFF would have him as the eighth best athlete, whereas other mock drafts have him in the late 20s. In the Daniel Jeremiah, they've got him at 30 to Baltimore. So I know sometimes for football fans out there, we know Falcon fans, it's frustrating because you can never find a consensus, right, about where people are going. Although there's a lot more guys that are on Dallas Turner at 8. And as you've brought up, mostly because that's just simply need, player,
easy,
2+2.
Yeah, it's easy. We talked about this on In the Huddle today, Mike, on the podcast, and Baldy and Jason and I were talking about it. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. We were talking about DeJean, and part of his makeup is, and what teams are digging about him is that you can play him in a variety of positions. Mike, you put him on offense.
Right.
He's that athletic. Like, we've been talking about him being a DB,
right,
but you could put him in the slot. He can return kicks. Teams are looking at him as a bigger, more versatile guy than just maybe coming in and playing defensive back, which adds to the value if you were going to take him as high as PFF has him. We'll ask Sam about it coming up. That's going to happen as we go at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Sam. So a lot of NFL evaluation as we continue to get ready for the NFL draft. Hey, this hour, by the way, of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by our friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Mike, real quick, NBA news that just hit.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, they're saying several weeks, like 4 to 6 weeks, like whatever Miami's going to do, he's not going to be a part of it. That's how long he's going to be out. Sideline for several weeks, ESPN's reporting, with an MCL injury. He tried to give it a go. He looked stiffer and stiffer as the game progressed.
He
just couldn't go. But Woj from ESPN reporting several weeks. So if the Heat can't win, you know, they're out. And again, it wouldn't matter. He's going to be on ice.
They're
not going to win without Jimmy Buckets.
They're done. I mean, you could win hypothetically. I mean, obviously on Friday night without him, and maybe you're energized, Mike, and guys step up, and Tyler Hero, I need a hero, goes for 4.
Bam, have a big night, right?
Yeah, but you're not winning a 7-game series without Jimmy Butler.
No.
So that's the kicker for Miami, and that sucks because for the NBA, you need your stars.
And that's the Bulls Friday night down there.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big O's behind the glass. Let's get to our NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. And notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
You know, we talked yesterday about that Belichick story. And Mike and I hope we laid it out for you. There was, as I said, a lot of truth. There were a lot of things in there that were inaccurate or not necessarily said. So we told you what we knew about the whole Belichick, why he didn't end up being the coach here. And all along, as that whole situation played out, it's not revisionist history. It just, we said it. It's not happening. And when we said that, a lot of you were like, this is crazy. The Falcons are dumb. Ultimately, if you want to go read that story, it's on ESPN. Mike, Bill Belichick is going to be a part of ESPN's coverage for the draft. I think he's going to be with Pat McAfee.
That's right.
But he was talking about the players' draft stock and how this is manipulated. Mm-hmm. So I want you to hear from him. Since we've been talking about him and the whole Falcon situation with him not getting the job here, here is Belichick talking about how this all goes down.
The biggest newsmakers here quietly are the agents. Nobody wants their player to get picked higher than them. So a lot of the information, I think, that comes to the media about who's going to draft who, how high they're going to go is, you know, a lot of media driven. So, you know, when the agent hears, well, you know, my player could go anywhere from the second or the third round, you add one to that and say, well, these GMs or these teams are talking about taking my guy in the first round. I've never done that. I've never told an agent, hey, we're going to take your guy in this round. We're going to take your guy with this, you know, with the 27th pick or the 31st pick or whatever pick it is we have. I don't think there's too many teams that do that. But I think the agents will say, hey, my guy's going to go at 31 to this team. My team guy's going to go at 17 to that team, that type of thing. And then that just generates interest in their player.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's the most I've heard him say in 8 years.
Right.
Secondly, the agents get that stuff from how many times they speak to teams leading up to the draft. Mike, if the Falcons have called Dallas Turner's agent and they've spoken, I don't know, numerous times leading into Thursday night, there's no reason for his agent to not say, hey, by the way, I think we might be going top 10 because the Falcons are really, really interested. There's nothing wrong with that. And if it's inaccurate, so be it. But I think a lot of that comes from how much conversation and communication right. happens between a particular player's agent and also the team. Because a lot of that is building up before the night of the draft. And then sometimes, Mike, things go left and the team doesn't draft a guy.
No. And there's always, like, first up, agents, not newsflash, sometimes they lie. Sometimes they pump things up. You know, I mean, not just that everybody's like, you know, Drew Rosenhaus. I mean, you know, just you pump it up your guy, and sometimes you got a willing source in the media, and they run with it. Have hearing. I'm hearing from the agents pumping this thing full of, you know, oxygen into the fire, and it's a bunch of nonsense. And you're right. That's the most I've heard an animated Bill Belichick say ever. Oh, that's right. He's getting paid to do it now.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it's funny because now he's part of the media that he despises. Look, you know, in that article that came out yesterday from ESPN, just the way he's treated. Look, granted, Carl, enough press conferences in your life, you're going to ask some dopey questions even in Boston. But the way he just had such disdain.
Yeah.
And the way he would, you know, now it's so funny. Now he's going to be animated, Bill. Well, that's a great question, Pat. Let me tell you about it. By the way, you want to laugh? Look at his wide receiver drafts the last 5 years.
No, he's not drafted well at all.
I mean, it's painful.
He's not drafted well at all. Which was another reason why, again, he didn't get another job this year. I think it was our buddy from NFL Network, Steve Weiss, who came on and said he doesn't fit the mold of what teams and owners are looking for at this point.
No. I mean, nobody wants the one-man gang. You know, there's only a couple of teams where the coaches really do have that juice. One of those would be, you know, certainly what you have with Kansas City. Andy Reid certainly, you know, deserved it and earned it. But, yeah, Belichick, not the idea that he would be collaborative. I'm looking. You can go to any just Google Patriots draft picks by season. And, man, even the, you know, those lean years when Brady was not winning Super Bowls, you look at the draft. There's some horrible draft picks.
Yeah.
Great
quarterback can cover those things up, which is what he had, which is why they continued to win. But, Mike, there was a reason why there was a fall off there for a few years where they didn't compete for Super Bowls, right? And you still had Brady there. And they're still winning, but it didn't feel like they had the necessary players. And then what was it, 18, I think, right. and 20 when they got back and won it all.
If you go back and look and go and start like 2010, there's a bunch of drafts. Like we always talk about our second round, but the only second round, like, there are none. Razi Dowling, guy was out of football after 3 years. I mean, there's a bunch of, you can just take a look, guys. This is why I just think for some fans that were so enamored with Belichick. Remember those arguments we were having back in January? He's the greatest coach ever. I go, yeah, but you gotta take a look, a deeper dive. You know, Tom Brady covered up a lot of the warts, and some of that was some not restocking the talent pool in New England. He really did not.
And that was up to him. So Belichick, he'll be a part of the draft coverage. I mean, to Mike's point, you know, we'll see. I'm not overly excited about it because I just don't know if I'm going to get from Belichick what I'd like to get. Like, that's a nice comment. But I really want to, like, dude, you've been doing this 50 years, 45 years, whatever it's been. You're considered to be the best, Mike. Give me some secret sauce. Give me something.
He'll let you in?
Is he going to? Because I don't know if he is. If you're just sitting there answering questions and going, he's a good player. I don't want to hear that.
Saban, I know that, you know, it's not like Saban's a barrel of laughs, but he has been more charismatic when you've seen him on, you know, ESPN coverage of championship games. The few times Alabama's not playing in them, he certainly has had the last couple of years. Remember when Pollock told him, Georgia's the new news? You know, that was, but at least he can kind of engage and give you some anecdotal stuff. It'll be interesting to see how Bill does that. Is it naturally?
I mentioned Jalen Hurts, Mike. He's longing for continuity. He spent 3 years at Alabama. I think Alabama fans know this. And look, I'm not taking a shot at Alabama. Okay?
Why do you hate Alabama?
I mean,
so anytime
I bring this up now, it's unbelievable. But Hurts had three different coordinators when he was at Alabama. And I don't know if people realize that. That is, again, the brilliance of Nick Saban being able to just go through guys, Mike, pick the right guy, and no fall off. But now in the NFL, he's going through a similar situation. So he now has a new coordinator. It's 3 years. He's been there, and they went to a Super Bowl, and their coordinator, you know, Shane Steichen takes the Indy job last year, and now he's got a new coordinator. And he's just like, can I get some continuity? Can I get some – just right. Can we get somebody to stay and have some continuity? What amazes me is the fact that he's had all of this success, even though there's been all this turnover in his career.
And I think it was, I forget who maybe it was Orlovsky was doing the breakdown at ESPN last year as they were going through their meltdown about how the routes and how you weren't helping the quarterback. Like everything was either like, it was like all or nothing. It was all vertical going down the field. There was a lot of things that he was just confused by what they were trying to accomplish because you know Jalen Hurts can make some of those throws. Yeah. But yeah, there were too many moving parts and the team just got, that's one where the team basically imploded because they hit the chicken switch. They just, and on the defensive side, we already talked about how bad Matt Patricia was, but that's a great point. Hurts is doing this with multiple dudes, and the dude who went to Indianapolis probably the best dude he had.
Shane Steichen, yeah. The offense, they started 10-1, guys, and then they lost six of their last seven.
I mean, they blew the number one seed and then looked at, and then and of all the teams in the playoffs, they looked arguably the worst, other than maybe Cleveland when they went down to play the Texans. Speaking of the Texans, their general manager does an interview with 790. Is that down in Houston?
It is.
Yep. And he was talking about, well, what do you make of your new wide receiver, Stephon Diggs? It's Nick Caserio. He says that, interesting quote. He goes, we're worried about what a player does in our building. And now you're bringing Diggs in. He says that, look, his reputation, that means nothing until he comes into our building. I think it's unfair to label someone until they actually have an opportunity to walk into the building. Our environment may be different than other environments, meaning what was going on in Buffalo. So really don't know what's going on in 31 other buildings, but Diggs does come with a bit of a rep and a one-year deal, which basically the Texans said, he can shine for us and then out the door, and you fleece the Bills doing it.
Yeah, I do think your reputation follows you, though. I mean, like, as great as T.O. was, and he's a Hall of Famer, his reputation preceded him. I mean, they weren't necessarily wrong about that.
Right.
So you can be a great player, but the reputation of what you've been in other organizations, and too many of these guys talk, they all know. That's a nice comment by Nick Caserio. Yes, you hope that he's going to be a good soul and a soldier for you in your building. And at the end of the day, this dude's a diva now. That's where he's been. That's kind of what it is. And you don't think the Texans, somebody in that organization picked up the phone and called somebody in Buffalo and said, what's really going on?
Well, it all started last year when he got into it. Actually, 2 years ago when he got into it in that playoff loss to the Bengals with his quarterback and then gets into it with his coach. Oh, speaking of the devil, Sean McDermott speaking to the media. Of course, asked about Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard, right? Steph's a great player. Really enjoyed our time together. Won a lot of games. It kind of looked like a hostage video. I saw this earlier today. We'll miss him. You never replace a player like Steph Diggs.
Yeah, say nice things.
And we wish him well, Steph and his family. So hard to move on from a player like that. And we go back to looking at our roster and excited for the opportunity. And some are saying you just can't replace a guy like that, even if you do get if you move up and hit on one of these big wide receivers.
No, listen, he's been productive. That's the thing. I want to mention this because you talked about Daniel Jeremiah yesterday. He says that some teams have Latu, okay, as their top edge guy, and they're not concerned about the medicals. I think that's important to realize when we start talking about these potential edge rushers that we may or may not draft. But here's the bigger take from what he said yesterday, Mike. Number two, I wouldn't just put in ink that Atlanta takes Dallas Turner. This is Daniel Jeremiah. But then he said this, and I've been hearing this. These are rumblings I've been hearing down there in Austin. Defensive tackle Byron Murphy could sneak into the top 10. And Byron Murphy, for those who had not paid attention, and that's a player. And that would not surprise me if he ends up in the top 10. Now, am I saying the Falcons are going to take Byron Murphy? I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that is a guy that nobody's talking about, that when his name is mentioned in the top 10 on next Thursday night, and you go, what? He is a player, Mike.
Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, you look at you got Grady and you've got Onyemata.
Yes.
Both under contract.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You going to play like a 6-2 defense? I'm kidding.
I'm just saying, how do you?
Because we're also looking for impact. In
yes.
At least, but here's the thing. We think it's a 3-year window to win a Super Bowl. They might not think that. You know, as fans, we go, shoot, we got Cousins for 3 years. We got to go get the dudes right now. They might not have that same game plan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When I hear Byron Murphy, though.
He's a stud. And,
yeah, for us, I would just simply say, do the Eagles have enough defensive tackles?
No, they
keep
loading up.
Drafting guys. Like
everybody
right?
from Georgia.
Yes. And so I don't know if I would say that's not a smart pick, right. but that's how I would look at it. The Eagles are like, screw it. We just drafted a defensive tackle last year. We're drafting another one, and we're going to draft another one.
But if you go edge rush or corner and you want tackle, Braden Fisk is going to be there in the second
True
round
enough.
From FSU, who showed out at the combine, was a stud.
True enough. All right, guys, we got lots more to get to. We're talking about the draft, and we're going to get some intel from Ian Valentino, NFL and draft analyst for the 33rd team. We'll see what he thinks about these guys we've been talking about. Coming up next. We're trying to give you all the different perspectives when it comes to the NFL draft. Next Thursday, Mike and I will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium bringing you all of the latest info. I'm suspecting, Mike, that day we'll have some deals done before the draft actually starts. And then as the draft starts, you guys know there could be multiple trades. Let's talk to our man, Ian Valentino, NFL and draft analyst, the 33rd team. They do a great job of covering the draft. And one of the things we've been discussing, and I want to start with the edge rushers because it is a position of need. It doesn't mean that the Falcons will necessarily draft that in the first round. We're going to see. But I want to get your opinions in on what you think about this edge rush class.
Yeah, hey, guys. It's not a great one. It's already tough to draft the edge position in the draft. The NFL, they do a really good job of recognizing these guys, and it really comes down to athleticism. So you don't generally find very productive guys outside of the first round. Most of the productive players across the league over the last 20 years went in the first round. And so they have it boiled down to athleticism. And sure, there's lots of misses, but in general, there's a lot less misses in the first round than compared to the others. So that being said, with it being a weaker class, it puts the onus on teams to really, you know, do their due diligence and find out, hey, if we're going to take an edge guy, does it have to be in the first round? What's the difference between those guys in each round? And I do think that this class is really looking like there's not a lot of depth outside of that first round. There's going to be a couple guys that go on day two that are probably contributors in some form, but they're guys that you may not want to re-sign for multiple years after that rookie deal. So it's a big drop-off from the first, I'd say, like three or four names to everyone else.
So we've been going round and round for months now about, you know, Dallas Turner, who, you know, the question my partner has, I'll put words in his mouth. Why didn't he do more at Alabama? Obviously killed it at the combine versus a Latu who has, I guess the medical on him, everyone just is they've turned the page on that. And then there's a guy, Jared Verse, who seems like he's sort of one dimensional, just straight pass rush.
Yeah, so it's an interesting class because Latu, even for him, he's a little bit more, he's not built like it, but he's more of like a speed rusher who's not super athletic. So he's interesting. He has a lot of good moves. He's quick, but they moved him all around the field. And sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes it's just them taking advantage of bad competition and guys that just would never, like you can't replicate that in the NFL. Like if you're putting him over the center, that's just not going to happen in the NFL that often. He's not Micah Parsons type of an athlete. So some of that's just not sustainable, and it doesn't project at all to the NFL. And then they were also taking Latu off the field on a lot of rundowns too. He's not someone that plays with amazing pad level or strength. It's not that he's not strong, but it's not a strength of his. Whereas you look at like someone like Dallas Turner, it's a great question, but he's such a good run defender, and he's also capable in coverage. Nick Saban was using him in a ton of different ways. And so that's probably not going to happen in the NFL. You're going to want to unleash him as often as possible. We especially saw it in 2022 when they already had Will Anderson. They were like, hey, Dallas Turner, you just drop into space because you're a freak at that size. And it's pretty interesting to see you out in the flat. It's going to, you know, kind of dissuade the offense from doing certain things. And so he's going to be unleashed a little bit more at the next level. And I do think that Turner has that type of upside that's just a little bit higher than everyone else. But there is also that concern because he didn't do it consistently in college. And then you go to Verse, he had a little bit of a down season 2023. Everyone expected a lot out of him. Really great athlete as far as his body composition. he's ready to play right now at a high level. But I think you're right. It's like he is a pass rusher, but he's not refined, but it's in a different way than Turner. Turner, I think, is because of experience, whereas Verse, I think he just doesn't have that elite tier burst off the ball. I don't think he has that extra gear to kind of get him there. So for me, he's more of like a complimentary number two type of rusher than he'll ever be a number one. The good news is, though, he is a good run defender. Like, he's super smart. He's super strong at the point of attack. So each of these guys is totally different. It just kind of depends on what you're swinging on and, like, the floor that you're comfortable with.
Do you believe that Latu is the better pass rusher of the three?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at pure ability, yes. He's the worst athlete of the three.
Better pass rusher.
He's not a bad athlete, right? Relatively, he's not a bad athlete. But he is the guy that you would step in tomorrow and say, if you're going to bet on any guy to win one rep, it's definitely going to be him.
Yeah, that's been my argument about pass rush. Byron Murphy better than all three of those guys?
I don't think so. I think he's right with Turner and Verse as like a middle of the first round guy.
Okay.
Because we're talking about edge rush. And then if you feel that you do, and a lot of guys have said, yeah, maybe just not worth taking where we are at eight if we can't find somewhere to move down. We're talking with Ian Valentino, guys, draft analyst for the NFL for the 33rd team. Is it more likely to take a corner? And who are the corners you think would be the first guy to come off the board if we're selecting there at eight?
Yeah, I think that's the question, right? Like, for me, I'm comfortable picking between Turner and Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold there at number eight. It's a little bit of a reach, I think, when you look in the grand scheme of this draft, where this draft is. But unless if you're taking a wide receiver, and I don't think that's super likely, you definitely don't need an offensive tackle, then it's like it just kind of is what it is. Like, this is your need, and these are the top guys there. Like, those guys are going to go off the board pretty quick if Atlanta doesn't take them. So it's not like you're walking out of there thinking, like, oh, I took, like, a second-round talent here. When it's just like a need. No, these guys are good. They're just not like the superstars. And it doesn't mean that they won't be at the next level. The talent is there. The raw skills are there. It's just a matter of molding them. So for me, that is my decision. Like, if I was the team, it's like, how badly do we want a pass rusher? It's like, well, we definitely need a pass rusher. But the corner prospects to me are a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
And so because that's still a need, I think you can totally justify that.
Give me your breakdown on Brock Bowers, and be careful because you're in Georgia country here.
He's really good.
He's great.
He's really good. It's hard to get better as a prospect than he is. He doesn't really look the part. It's funny. Like, I think a lot of people over this offseason kind of realized that he just looks like an athletic guy, but like, he doesn't look like probably the most dominant player over the last two or three years in college football, like in just like shorts and a t-shirt. So, but he is that type of guy. He can do it all. He's so good after he catches. Like, I would argue that he's better after the catch than before the catch, which is saying a lot because he can do so much. I think he's functionally, he's almost like Kyle Pitts. And I said the same thing about Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is really just a wide receiver in a tight end's body.
Right.
I think Bowers is the same way. You can move him in the slot. And that's why I like him for, like, the Jets. I know a lot of people are talking about, well, the Jets need an offensive tackle. They need a backup lineman. Well, they need a lot to go right just to win. And if you're going to already be banking on, you know, someone like Aaron Rodgers being healthy, you might as well go for the pure upside. I don't like drafting backups 10th overall. That's crazy to me. Brock Bowers takes that offense to a new level. Like, he takes any offense to a new level. Even if that's unfair to say about tight ends, which it mostly is, he's the guy that's going to be pretty productive, even if that's not ever what's really happened in history. It's just he fits the game perfectly to how it's played these days, and he's built for it. Like, his size and speed, it's really crazy.
Our general manager is Ian Valentino, joins us, guys, from the 33rd team, breaking down the draft. Our general manager always takes the best athlete available. So if Roma Dunze is there at eight, and we take him, and I guess we'll just hope that we score like 50 points a game, and we'll figure out the defense later, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can justify it. It sounds crazy, but I think you can actually justify it, because that's, even with the guys that are on the roster, it's like, it's a good offense, but like, you could totally argue that a third receiver is needed. Look at Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator that came in. The Rams played more three receiver sets than any team in the NFL last year. So it's not like Roma Dunze is going to come in and not play, or he's going to displace somebody that's not going to play. Three receivers are going to be on the field a ton. And it's a good investment. And the question is, like, is his value that much higher compared to Turner and Mitchell and Arnold, these other guys that are in the mix? And like, yeah, I think you can kind of justify it. I would be a little bit questionable just because I think that edge position is so lacking beyond those guys, but especially the guys on the roster. But when you have a defensive head coach, especially one that's done a lot with a little, he's going to probably feel pretty confident that he can bring the best out of guys that he can take later. So I wouldn't walk away being upset. And worst case scenario is that, yeah, you hopefully have that elite offense for the next couple of years, and you have a ton of guys on cheap deals before things start to get, you know, a little bit tougher down the road.
Ian, is there too much hype on Cooper DeJean?
No, I don't think so. I think people kind of forgot about him for a little bit, even though he was doing great things at Iowa. He didn't have the cornerback production this past year than he did the year before, but he was doing things on punt returns. He's just a special athlete with the ball in his hands, and you want to move him all around. He's on it. I think Falcons would be a great fit for him because, again, it goes back to having a creative defensive coordinator. Like, you want to move him around. And it's easy when you don't see that sometimes that you forget just how special someone like that can be. But I think he's been underrated a bit. Like, in the preseason, we were pretty high on him, had him like top 15, top 20 of a lot of mocks. Kind of forgot about him. Now you're starting to see him end of the first round, middle to late first round in most mocks. I could see him in the second round too, because these things are really scheme dependent. But I definitely think if he has been underrated, I do think that the pendulum is swinging a little bit back now that people are getting, you know, intel from coaches and general managers.
Ian, before we cut you loose, if we do do something other than edge rush in that first overall pick, and we're getting into like the second and the third rounds, I know I watched the combine on edge rush day. Marshawn Nealand from Western Michigan, Austin Booker from Kansas. Are those guys worth taking a flyer on in the third, or is there enough buzz where they'll be gone in the second, late second?
Yeah, I think they might last to the third. That position dries up so quickly. You've got guys like Braylon Trice, who is a guy who can play right now, but he doesn't have a super high upside. He's going to be like six, seven sacks a year. Really good effort player, strong as an ox. Really good player. So do teams value that? Or do they look at someone like you mentioned, like Booker and Nealand? These guys are super raw. If you've seen one bull rush from Marshawn Nealand, you've seen his entire pass rush repertoire. Right. But he's such a great athlete that, like, you're looking at 27, 2028, that type of time frame, and saying, like, well, he might just be a star. It just might be a little bit delayed. It goes back to the coach, right? Like, you hire the right coach, you can hit on those guys and maybe get a little bit more out of them, just like the Rams did last year with their mid-round picks, get a little bit more than what you expected out of them. I'd probably go with the higher upside guys. I like Booker, too. Booker's just a physical, just specimen, too, like 6'6", 240. He was a third-year sophomore last year, did really good things. I like those guys. Can you get him in the third? You never want to say no because these things are weird, but I do think that those guys are more likely to get off the board than someone like Trice, who's a little bit more play now. But down the road, I'm not really sure if you're re-signing him to like a 2 or 3 year deal beyond his rookie deal.
Ian, great work, man. We appreciate you stopping by. Ian Valentino, NFL and draft analyst, the 33rd team. We're trying to get all this insight, man. Getting ready for next week. Thank you again.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff. We've got more draft conversation coming up. Sam Munson's going to join us, PFF lead NFL analyst. That's going to happen at 4 o'clock, though. When we come back, it's time for Yeah Man, No Man next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Did you know you can play the game from any smart-enabled device? Just tell your device to play.
Thanks to Ian Valentino stopping by. Good perspective. Take it all in before you get crazy and go, this is who we absolutely have to have. There's so many options, and that is why I am not caught up on just one guy, including right. Dallas Turner, because he just told you, and I think we're going to hear this again from Sam Munson from PFF, the cornerback class as a whole is better. So do you go there versus the edge? And many of you are going to say, well, that guy didn't get to the pass rusher, or he doesn't get to the quarterback, right. And I get that. But I think it's all about how you view your strategy. And that's the part where we haven't had yet enough conversation. All we're going off of with Rye, I mean, and I'm talking about Jimmy Lake, enough conversation, Mike, to say, here is where we think we can be,
right.
You know?
Right, as we said, and I think Oren, who's going to give us some Yeah Man, No Man here in a sec, we'd all agree. We spend months on this. You guys are all fired up. We've done the mock draft. We did another mock draft, by the way. I call it Seminole Surprise, Carl. I got white boy Rick, Cooper DeJean, and then I picked up some edge later on in the draft. But it's just it would be nice just once for us to actually have something go down on Thursday night that actually something we talked about as opposed to the complete end around, right?
Well, that happened last year.
Or the okie doke.
True. I mean, yeah. I'm
you,
with
but
you.
Nailed, but you nailed. You did nail.
We
did
have,
you
we,
you nailed Bijan Robinson. We did have that. But I mean, as far as defense, I think we've ever gotten the defensive stuff. Right.
No, because the year that we, I think we all wanted. I say we all wanted. We thought Edge that year, but they went with Keanu Neal. That was the year they went safety.
We thought it was linebacker first.
That's right.
And it was Debo. But anyway, it all worked out. Beasley, the great debate that year was Beasley or Todd Gurley. And it actually was up there where you could have had either one.
But I will say this. The safety thing, and it gets back to Jesse Bates. I just don't know if people realize how important these guys are when you talk about how they're being used now in the league. And that is why you have to have a great safety. And we have one. We don't have to worry about safety. More on the draft coming up at 4 o'clock. Big O, man. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
By the way, we say Yeah Man, No Man because our beer is Hey Man. We invite you to get some at your local package store. It's all over the state, guys. You can get it at Publix as well. If they don't have it, ask for it. They can deliver it there, all right, to your Publix. So make sure you try some Hey Man Ale. What's going on today, Big O?
I think the word I used today in our pre-show meeting was boring. And I don't mean that in a bad way when it comes to the Falcons draft, but just like, hey, this is the guy that we've talked about. This is a guy that we know we can expect to come in and step in and do X, Y, or Z their first year here. No surprises. Like, Bijan wasn't a surprise, but I think it was the position and the best player available taking a running back that high. Not that it's a bad thing, but it just was like, oh, we took a running back in the top 10 of the NFL draft. You don't normally see that, but he had an impact his rookie year. Just the pick this year, like, I want it to be a plain, boring pick. Like, I don't want anything extravagant. I don't want anything crazy. I don't want a surprise. I just want it to be boring. Yeah. I don't want to be titillated, say, at like 9:15 Thursday night of the NFL draft. Right. Like, what's going on right now? Why did that happen?
So. Right. But we do have, a sense of mystery and mystique about this one, where in the past, you know, we gave you, remember, give us credit. We give you every single angle, as we did every last 4 years with the way that Terry Fontenot was going about it.
Yeah, I mean, every year it changes. The thing that last year I think I knew, Mike, is that they loved the versatility of Bijan, and specifically Arthur Smith. Right. I mean, say what you want about Arthur Smith. He had this vision about how he wanted this thing to look. Now, he's not here, but I'm going to tell you, there's nobody up there in the building going, that was a wrong move.
No, Zach Robinson told us how much he's looking forward to using Bijan.
Absolutely. Nobody's right. up there going, oh, man, they screwed that up.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because they understand that vision can still be what he wanted to be. It's just different people running it.
I do think last year it was almost like there was no zero. It was like a zero-sum argument. It had to be Jalen Carter. You can't do Bijan. And then the Lions go up and get Jahmyr Gibbs, which kind of further throws monkeys into the wrench with folks who feel, oh, you don't go that high on a running back in the NFL.
He had a great rookie year, too, Jahmyr Gibbs, too. So.
And Jalen Carter, again, and it wasn't an argument against Jalen Carter. Both guys can have great NFL careers. He did tail off, though, at the end in his first year in Philly.
No, he absolutely did. I mean, ultimately, you know, if these guys help their teams win Super Bowls, that's what it's about.
You made the right pick.
Right. That's what it's ultimately going to be about. So I'm with you. No surprises, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think we're going to do something wacky or crazy that's going to tick off everybody and Atlanta's like on fire. What are we talking about here? What are we doing?
Make that Friday show extra spicy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Joined now by White Boy Rick.
No doubt. Hey, and I said this, if they go that route, if they go to G, I'm all about it.
He can play. Quality player. All right, we're going to step outside the world of sports today for my first Yeah Man, No Man. A conversation I had this afternoon with Randy McMichael. I brought my lunch today. I went to a meet and three. Shout out to Matthews over in Tucker. Matthews and Tucker on Thursdays, they do turkey and dressing. Randy saw me eating and he goes, what's that? Oh, turkey and dressing. You can have Thanksgiving food outside of a Thanksgiving season. Yeah. Like, yeah, I would eat dressing all year long if I could. I probably do eat dressing all year long. It's great. Nice little – it's a great side. So caught him by surprise. So my first Yeah Man, No Man to you guys. Yeah, having seasonal food outside of the season. Yeah Man, No Man.
Yeah, for me, I'm all about it. I mean, Mike, for me, I don't know. I don't see it as seasonal.
Right.
I think if I'm in the mood for something – and it's available, I do it. I don't think of it as, I can only have that at Christmas. Like, there are things only that you can get during the holidays, but if it's available in the summer, for example, right? And I see it, and I'm like, oh, man, I haven't had that. I'm going to order it. I'm going to have it. So I'm with you. It doesn't matter the time of year for me.
I'm with you. Did your parents ever do, mom ever do like the mashup on breakfast for dinner where you do pancakes and bacon at dinner?
Best days ever right there.
Oh my gosh. As a kid, man, I love that. I thought that was
a surprise.
Yeah, my grandmother thought it was terrible. Very lazy, Jane. Very lazy.
It's the best.
It's a hard meal to make, though, like doing breakfast for dinner.
My Nana thought that was just jive. But yeah, you know, but then she never got along with
you.
You
want to get the kids excited? Do that.
Oh, heck yeah. I loved it.
Hey, kids, we're going to have breakfast for dinner. What? They'll lose their minds.
Best night ever.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, moving right along here. We're going to go back to sports here, guys, and our old buddy Dan Quinn. Oh, boy. The Commanders introduced a new slogan today on the wall of their meeting room. And this has Dan Quinn written all over it. Mm-hmm. It is three words: anybody, anywhere, anytime.
I just posted it at Mike Bell ATL, and Carl and I were laughing over it. Sergeant Slogan
anybody,
strikes again.
Anywhere, anytime.
You know, Carl, can I try not to cuss in this introductory press conference, but I like doing hard work with good people, man.
Yeah.
And you know, anytime, anybody, anywhere, kind of encapsulated.
Unbelievable.
What is it? You're going to have a street fight?
Anybody, but there is nothing anywhere? I enjoy more than doing hard with good people.
Anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Man just can't help himself.
What?
Now, is he going to have the brotherhood patches up there? Like remember the motorcycle vest?
Carl? Actually, no. I think
riding in this world.
Do you put like AAA pouches now for the AAA? Anybody, anywhere, anytime now? Oh, is that what they just wear AAA patches around the building? Yeah. Anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, a lot of thought went into this.
And you guys want to get on us for passing on Bill Belichick? They passed on Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? So
just that mantra, man. Just at some point, I realized that I don't want to call it a shtick because I think sometimes it has a negative connotation, but that's who he is as a person. Yeah. That's just his personality. That's his makeup. That's his being. That's who he is.
Does he bring the Navy SEALs in to do the telephone pole thing and everything else? And all the, you know, they're passing the big chunk of wood around.
That was terrible. Just because there was no slogan that was going to replace what happened. Right? There was nothing you could do. But I will say this: he tried to the Marine thing, Mike.
He's a good guy, and no one's a bigger fan of the military and all
But right? But he tried to do different things to get his team's attention. I think that is the thing that sometimes gets lost in this. We make fun because, well, we're over it. But he tried that all the different things, and it didn't work because we never got over the hump and we never won the Super Bowl. But it is funny now to see it from afar. And Oren, I'm glad you brought it up. Mike told me this in the break, and I was crying because it has Dan Quinn, you're right, written all over it. Totally.
Just anybody, anytime.
Now, that was the slogan when I was a kid. They used to make the F-14, remember Top Gun?
Yeah.
You know, the two-seater, the fighter plane. And that was, they had the Tomcat, and it said anytime, anywhere. You know, that was like, it was the slogan, basically, we'll fight anywhere in the air. We're going to knock your butt out of the sky.
Yeah, that's a different deal, though. I mean, that's just the military.
Anytime. Well, that's Dan Quinn. That's Dan.
That's a different deal.
Sergeant Slogan,
you're
baby.
Putting that on an F-14. I kind of get it. Anytime, anywhere.
Anytime, baby.
Meeting room.
Yeah.
Doesn't ring as
Everybody, because when my high school, I lived a few miles from where that was made, where those planes were made, and everybody had that patch on, either a sticker on their lunchbox, it was anytime, baby, with the Tomcat, and had like a six-shooter on its hip, which was cool, unlike what the Commanders have in their meeting room.
And on that note, gentlemen, we will get out of here.
Any way you want it. Very funny.
Good stuff. I love doing tough blank, Carl, with good people.
But there is nothing I enjoy more than doing hard with good people.
We're gonna see. Has he learned from this experience here?
Well, apparently not.
Okay. Coming up, Sam Munson, PFF lead NFL analyst, is gonna join us next. We'll get his take and opinions on what he believes the best players are in this draft and what the Falcons may do next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.